message today will be 2 Kings chapter 19, if you want to turn there. We're not going to read that just yet, but you can turn there and put your finger or open your Bible there. How many Bibles in the house? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Here in this passage, there's a fellow by the name of Hezekiah. I was going to trick you and tell you to turn to Hezekiah chapter 5 and pause and let me hear the pages ruffling. So now that you've found 2 Kings, find Hezekiah chapter 5 so we can talk about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the few kings of Judah, Judah being the southern kingdom of Israel, one of the few kings who was constantly aware of God's acts in the past and his involvement in the acts of the present day that he was living in. It's always good to think about what God has done. And so many times with the Jewish nation of the Old Testament, the prophets and the kings often came back to the people of the Jews there and said, hey, let's remember what God has done for us. And it all centered around the Exodus, when the Jews were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years and God finally got them out and brought them across the wilderness into the promised land of Israel. And all throughout the Old Testament, those prophets and kings would often remind the people, don't forget what God has done for us. And that's what they're always referring to. But then Hezekiah also said, you know what? I'm also aware of what God is doing for us in the present. Let's not just live in the past. Let's see what God is doing in the present. And let's look forward to the future. The Bible describes Hezekiah as a king who had this close relationship with Almighty God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20, the Bible says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all of Judah, that southern kingdom of Israel. And he brought that which was good and right and truthful before the Lord his God. Hezekiah's story is told in several parts of the Bible, 2 Kings 16 to 20, 2 Chronicles 28, 32, Isaiah 36, 39. His name is mentioned in Proverbs 25, Isaiah 1, Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah 26, Hosea 1, and Micah 1. But he also had a past. Hezekiah was the son of the very wicked king Ahaz. I don't want to spend time this morning talking about Ahaz, but he was known as the most wicked king of that time period. After Ahaz had died, Hezekiah became king at age 25. He reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah from 715 to 686 BC, approximately 29 years. So our time period is about 700 years before Christ. The Bible says he was more zealous for the Lord than any of his predecessors. In 2 Kings chapter 18, it says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Not one of the kings of Judah was like him, either before him or after him. He had this desire and this uncanny willingness to say, I'm going to trust in God no matter what. In addition, it was during his reign that the prophets Isaiah and Micah, you're very familiar with those, the prophet Isaiah who wrote the book of Isaiah, the prophet Micah who wrote the book of Micah, they prophesied and ministered in Judah during the time of King Hezekiah. After his father, King Ahaz's wicked reign, Hezekiah boldly cleaned house, if you will. He saw to it that the pagan altars and idols and temples were destroyed. The bronze serpent that Moses had made in the desert, that's another story. But it was destroyed because the people had turned that thing of Moses into an idol. Moses was a great man of God, amen? But he was not Jesus. He was not to be idolized. The Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Under King Ahaz, that evil ruler, the father of Hezekiah, the doors were nailed shut. But when Hezekiah came along, he opened those doors. The Levitical priesthood, which God had established in Leviticus, but King Ahaz had abolished, was reinstated by Hezekiah. Passover, we are into the holy season. Easter is coming. Passover is coming. Under Ahaz, it was abolished, but it was reinstituted as a national holiday under Hezekiah. Hezekiah's reforms brought revival to Judah. The mighty hand of God was at work among his chosen people because King Hezekiah put God first in everything he did. The Bible says that God prospered him. It says in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 6 and 7, Hezekiah remained faithful to Yahweh, or God, and did not turn from following him, but he kept the commands the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him, and wherever he went, he prospered. How many in the building under 21? Just raise your hand. A couple of you, under 21. You have your whole life ahead of you. How about under 25? I want to include you guys too. There you go. You got your whole life ahead of you. What's probably the best thing that someone advice you could get? It might be this verse right here. You ought to find it in your Bible. 2 Kings 18, 6 and 7. This isn't part of the sermon. I just read it, but let's read it again. Those under 25, think about this. He remained faithful to Yahweh, God. He didn't turn from following him. Instead, but he kept the commands the Lord had commanded Moses. The Ten Commandments, Pastor? No, there was over 600. Why should I do that? Here's the answer. I'm glad you asked. When you do that, the Lord will be with you. And wherever you go, wherever Hezekiah went, because he had kept the law and the commandments and did not turn away and remain faithful to God, wherever he went, the Bible, it does not lie, says he prospered. Wow. If you're under 25, under 30 maybe even over 30, this should be a life verse. He remained faithful to Yahweh. He didn't turn from following him. He kept the commands. The Lord was with him. And wherever he went, he prospered. However, in 701 BC, Hezekiah and all of Judah, that southern kingdom of Israel, faced a crisis. The Assyrians, by the way, when you see the word Assyrians in the Bible, it's really talking about modern-day Syria. You know, Damascus, which is in Syria, is also in the Bible. Damascus, they say, is the oldest city in continuous service. It's been around for about 6,000 years. So the Assyrians here were the dominant world power at this time, Syria. It had already invaded Judah, and they were marching toward and against Jerusalem. King Hezekiah is the king of Judah, the southern kingdom. The beloved city of Jerusalem, he has opened up the temple, things are going good, revival was there, things are happening. And can I just tell you this, when things are happening for the Lord, when revival's coming, when things look good, guess who's not happy? The devil. And he's going to do whatever he can to stop this. And so he works through the Assyrians, who have now invaded Judah, and they got their eyes focused on Jerusalem. The Assyrians had already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and many other of the surrounding nations. In their threats against Jerusalem, the Assyrians openly defied the God of Judah. They were the enemy. Satan is our enemy. They likened the God of Judah, Yahweh, to the powerless gods of the nations that they had already conquered. They didn't know who they were dealing with. Can I just paraphrase the Bible a little bit? Faced with the seriousness of the Assyrian takeover, Hezekiah then sends word to the prophet Isaiah for spiritual advice. It's the same Isaiah that wrote the book of Isaiah that we just finished reading. The Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, reassured Hezekiah that Assyria will never enter Jerusalem. Rather, the invaders would be sent home and Jerusalem's going to be spared. Did you guys catch that? I'm not sure Hezekiah was the greatest war general. And I'm not sure the Jews of the southern kingdom of Judah were fighting people. And the world dominant power, the Assyrians that came into our country, and they're marching toward Jerusalem. The Bible does not say that Hezekiah was shaking in his boots, but I think he was. And so he does all he can do. He sends for Isaiah. Isaiah, here's what's happening. You gotta calm my nerves, calm my fears. So Isaiah says, don't worry about it, Hezekiah. They're not going to enter Jerusalem. God has assured me they'd be sent home and spared. And while in the temple of Jerusalem, the same temple that he had opened up, Hezekiah did all that he knew to do. And he prays this beautiful prayer to God for help. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 9, he says, now, Lord our God, please save us from his, the Assyrian king's hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God and you alone. And God, faithful as he always is, kept his promise to protect Jerusalem. In a couple of verses down in verse 35 of 2 Kings chapter 19, that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 soldiers in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people got up the next morning, they were found all the dead bodies. Wow. We need to let that just sink in. Hezekiah didn't go to his army. Now, boys, this is what you've been training for. We're about to be attacked. Get your gun ready. Some of you ain't coming back. He didn't do any of that. He goes to the temple. And God does the rest. My Bible says, angel of the Lord, one, wiped out 185,000 strong Assyrian soldiers who knew how to fight. They had been winning the battles over all these other countries. What happened next was the remaining Assyrians quickly broke camp and they withdrew in defeat. 2 Chronicles 32:22 records, so the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the power of King Sennacherib of Assyria and from the powers of all others. He, God, gave them rest on every side. Sometime right after that, Hezekiah became very sick. In fact, the prophet Isaiah was sent, or called, he was sent there. The Bible says he told Hezekiah to get your house in order and prepare to die. Hezekiah then prayed, probably from his deathbed, beseeching God to be merciful and to remember all the good that he had done during his life. And before Isaiah had even left Hezekiah's house, maybe even while Hezekiah was praying, God told Isaiah, tell Hezekiah that his prayer has been heard and that his life would be extended 15 more years. Folks, I'm not making this up. It's all right here. It's all in the Bible that we say we believe, the Bible that we bring to church, the Bible that we read. It's all right here. This is not a show that I watched on TV last night. I get goosebumps thinking about this. He's praying on his deathbed before Isaiah the prophet even leaves. Get your house in order, you're going to die. Before he even walks out of the room, Isaiah, turn around. Go back and tell Hezekiah You know what I told you about? You're going to die and get your house in order? Don't worry about that. God has just now told me you're going to have 15 more years to live. Boom. God moment. Hezekiah was healed. 2 Kings records in chapter 20, verse 5, 6, and 7. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord God of your ancestor David says. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Look, I will heal you. And the third day from now, you'll go up to the Lord's temple. And I'll add another 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my name's sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, bring a lump of pressed figs. So they brought it and applied it to his infected skin of Hezekiah, and he recovered. With that background in mind, I want to take the examples of Hezekiah's prayers and turn it into application for our lives today. You see, Hezekiah often became the target of warring nations. That's why I said earlier, I do not think he was probably a master general or had this great army. At one point in his reign, the Assyrian king launched a huge smear campaign against Hezekiah and the Jewish people. And when Hezekiah heard about it, he went before the Lord in prayer. And even though God assured him that everything would be okay, the Assyrians would not let up. Doesn't sound like our battle with Satan today? God says everything's going to be okay. Why does Satan keep pounding me and pounding me and pounding me? The Bible says they even sent a letter by messenger to Hezekiah, which basically said this: the Assyrians are tough. And they're going to keep coming after you. Throughout the stressful time in his leadership, we find that Hezekiah consistently used the same battle plan. He went before the Lord in prayer, and he followed the Lord's commands. You see, Hezekiah relied on prayer to rule his life. He knew how to pray, and he prayed in a way that always produced results. I wrote down a question. What do we do, or what do you do, what do I do when we're backed into a corner, about to face something bigger than our own ability to handle? After Hezekiah received that threatening letter, he did all he knew to do. He prayed. And we find that prayer in the passage from 2 Kings chapter 19, which you have your finger on, starting in verse 14. You saw the picture just a minute ago. Hezekiah took that letter from the hand of the messengers. He read it, and then he went up to the Lord's temple. He spread it out before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, Lord God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you made the heavens and the earth. Listen to what he says in verse 16. Listen closely, Lord. See how bold that was? Listen closely, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Hear the words that the king Sennacherib has sent to mock the living God. Lord, it is true, and the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations around their lands. They have thrown their gods, these foreign gods, into the fire, for they were not gods, but they were made by human hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, Lord God, please save us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. I know my time is running out, but we're going to walk through this. There's seven things that we can learn from Hezekiah's prayer, and you have your notes there in the bulletin. First of all, I want to see how Hezekiah got alone with God. You know, there's good corporate prayer like we do here in church on every Sunday, like we do on Wednesday nights, when we all join together in prayer. I've seen you do it at the altars, groups of people, lots of people sharing their burdens. And then there's prayer where only a few are gathered. Some of you are praying on Sunday mornings, the men are downstairs during the week. Jean gives you a text out or a call out, and people respond right away, we're praying. But probably some of the most effective prayer time of your life and my life will be that time that we pray to God when we are alone with Him. And when Hezekiah prayed, he spread his problems out before the Lord all by himself. And he allowed God's will to be done as he waited for God's response. So he got alone with God. Secondly, he prayed immediately. His prayer was not an afterthought. In fact, it was not even a thought. You know, a common phrase nowadays is when we learn of a heartache or a tragedy, we often say, thoughts and prayers are with you. We see it on TV when somebody is tragically killed or something happens. Our thoughts and prayers are with them people. Our thoughts and prayers are with that city. Our thoughts and prayers are with that state. Our thoughts and prayers are with that group of people. Unfortunately, most of the time, only our thoughts are given. Amen? When we say we're going to pray, we need to actually pray. When someone says, please pray for me, we need to stop what we're doing and just really pray. Hezekiah gets this letter. And he doesn't necessarily think about it. Oh, what am I going to do? It's here. I got to get my commanders in here. We need to have a Joint Chiefs of Staff meeting. He just prays immediately. He prayed prior to making any plans regarding the situation. But in our me-first society of instant gratification, we're so geared to react that it's hard for us to go to God first with anything. Amen? Oftentimes we try other methods or persons or tackle the situation that lies before us. God often ends up being our second or third or fourth option. Or we wait until we are absolutely backed into this corner and we have no other choice but to go to God in prayer. We need to change that. Out of habit, we need to make God our first choice, our first place that we turn in our lives when facing hardship. Get alone with God, pray immediately, and then be open and honest. When he prayed, Hezekiah was open and honest with the Lord. He was transparent before the Lord. He told God just how he felt and what he desired. I love the imagery here in the scripture passage of Hezekiah's prayer. He takes the letter, goes into the house of the Lord, and spreads it out before him. I get this visual image of Hezekiah laying that letter on the altar saying, okay, God, now what? What do I do next? Are you in a tough spot this morning? One thing we know about ministry is we usually get a call or a text in love, and we want this when you're in a tough spot. Got a text last night about 11 o'clock from one of our people. Just explained a couple things, and just 11 o'clock at night. Please pray for me. And by the way, you know any Christian counselors? I got a lot going on in my life and I just need some help. Tough spot. We know. We know you're in tough spots. And you know each other because you reach out to each other. But maybe we just need to write all this down on a piece of paper. Lay the paper down. At our altar. Just say, okay, God, here's my struggles. Here's the spot I'm in. God, I can't do anything about it, but you can. Just tell me what to do next. Writing down our prayer request before the Lord or keeping a prayer journal seems like it's a great idea for two reasons. First of all, help us to remember to pray for those things. And then it helps us to watch as God answers prayer. You know what I'm the opinion of and have the belief? I believe that we get far more answers from God than we really realize. We just don't write them down. We just don't want to think about them. Be open and honest. Fourthly, be honoring, humble, and respectful. Hezekiah's prayer here in 2 Kings chapter 19, he was honoring, humble, and respectful for who God is. Hezekiah knew his place as king. What a great position. I am the king of this nation. I'm not sure I'm king of my house. I love my wife. I'm only king because she allows me to be king. Amen. He knew he was the king of the nation of Judah. But he also knew God's place in the kingdom. Hezekiah was a king of this nation. What an important job. Yet he was willingly humbling himself in prayer to God because he knew his place before the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Be honoring, humble, and respectful to God. Fifthly, be bold. Here we see Hezekiah's prayer was bold. He said in verse 16, "Listen closely, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see." Don't you think God knew what was going on? Of course he did. But that didn't stop Hezekiah. You better listen, Lord. Open your ears. Open your eyes. See what's going on. Hezekiah had the kind of relationship with God where it was not a surprise when Hezekiah showed up to pray. He and God talked frequently, probably throughout the day. All through the New Testament Gospels, we find Jesus doing the same thing, talking with the Heavenly Father frequently, sometimes all day, sometimes all night, always talking with the Lord. I had a grandfather like that. He was always whispering and mumbling. Or, "Papa, what are you talking about?" He was just talking to the Lord. One of the greatest examples of prayer I ever saw was there when he was still alive, and I'd always stop by his house before I'd go home. I walked out the door, and I'd forgot something, or maybe I went back to get a pop or something, I don't know. But I walked back in, and he was already on his knees praying for my safe journey home. It was such an impact. I just slipped out the back door. Wow. Because of that relationship, Hezekiah did not wonder if God would be there when he came before him. He knew he could ask God anything that God would listen. He knew he could ask anything, and he knew that God would act on his behalf. You know, the more you grow in your relationship with God, the bolder your prayers can become. Why is that? Because your heart begins to line up with God's heart. It becomes not all about what I want. It becomes this relationship, God, you are the ultimate God, Yahweh, Father Jehovah. And whatever your perfect will is, I'm in tune with it. And sixthly, be dependent on God. Hezekiah's prayer was dependent. In verses 17 and 18, he prays, "Lord, it is true that the kings of the Assyrians have devastated the nations and the surrounding lands." God, it's a crisis. This is the most powerful army the world knows to today. And they've already devastated the other nations. They've thrown their false gods into the fire. And they're coming after us. Hezekiah knew he was out of his league facing the powerful Assyrians. But one cannot help but notice from the way that Hezekiah responded to the situations of life, I don't think it mattered to Hezekiah the size of the battle. No, Hezekiah was going to be totally dependent on God for strength, guidance, wisdom, and power. Amen. Romans 8:31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Pastor, what are you reading? I'm reading the Bible. I'm not reading something from some theologian. I'm not reading something from some best-selling book. I'm reading some verses from the Bible that says in Psalm 118:6, "The Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Psalm 56:11, "In God I trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Hebrews 13:6, therefore we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Well, 1 Peter tells us in 5, 6, and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him, because he cares about you. Man, be dependent on God. And lastly, make your prayer certain. We see here in Hezekiah's example, his prayer was certain. He was certain because his prayer was based on his personal faith, his personal trust in God Almighty. In verse 19, he prays, now, Lord our God, please save us from his hand, the Assyrians, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God and you alone. Don't protect us for our sake. Do it, God, so the whole world will know that you are God. Hezekiah had a faith in God that allowed him to pray with confidence. We need to know and understand that our faith is always based on the promises of God. Some things God has promised to do, amen? And some things he has not. Aren't you glad when, and catch the point, on Thursday night before Good Friday when Jesus was arrested, he was in the garden praying, and what did he pray for? God, take this cup from me. I don't want to go through this. Take it from me. Don't let me go through it. Aren't you glad God said, I ain't doing that? Aren't you glad he told his son, his only begotten son, son, I hear you, but I ain't doing that. Say, Pastor, you're kind of harsh. No, I'm not. You see, because if God had done it, how would we have been saved today? But God has always promised to work things out for the ultimate good. Amen? Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. God has promised to always get glory for himself. And we can pray with certainty based on the scriptures that we just read together. But I got to say this too. With all love and with the Bible behind me, God has not promised us a walk in the rose garden. He never promised that everything would always be good. He never promised to rid everyone of cancer. He never promised that we would all be financially rich. He never promised that every relationship that we have would be good. But he did promise to always be with us, to never leave us or forsake us, to always love us, to know what we have need of before we even ask, to supply our needs, and probably most of all, that his grace would be sufficient no matter what situation we are in. That doesn't mean we should stop praying for everything. We oftentimes, perhaps most of the time, we don't know God's will. We cannot expect God to do what he hasn't promised to do. Sometimes we may get upset because God doesn't do something that we ask for or what we want him to do. But the fact is, he may never have promised to do it in the first place. Throughout my ministry, I've always thought about what Jesus said. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. You may even die for me. And you got to think, well, why in the world would I want to do this then? But he calls all Christians that. We're going to be hated. The world's going to hate you. You're going to be persecuted one way or the other. Jesus said in Matthew 26:11, you will always have the poor with you, meaning poor in spirit, poor in finances, poor in health, etc., etc., etc. Jesus never said that that fact would ever change. But God still does what he has promised to do. Always be with us. Never leave us or forsake us. Always love us. to know our needs before we ask, to supply our needs, and that his grace would be sufficient. Hezekiah knew that God had promised to save his people from the attack of the Assyrians. The Israelites were God's chosen people. He had made a covenant with Abraham many years before, and so he solidified that covenant with Isaac and Jacob. And since God never goes back on his word, Hezekiah knew that God was watching out for them either in victory or defeat. And Hezekiah had confidence that God would continue to do what he had promised to do. And so he trusted God to be faithful to his word. But Hezekiah was willing to act in faith without immediately knowing the outcome. I just wonder, what situations are you dealing with today that you know you're helpless on your own? What situations are you in where you are desperately desiring God to answer? In closing, can we just be like Hezekiah? Let's just get alone with God. Let's not wait. Let's do it immediately. Let's be open with God. Tell him how you feel and what you desire. Spread your problems out before him honestly, humbly, respectfully. Be bold in your asking, knowing that God already knows your need before you even ask. Be dependent on God, because there are many matters that we just cannot fix. Amen. And then be certain that God will answer your prayers according to his perfect will. Let us pray together.